And now, from the heart of Cass County in Logansport, Indiana's Best Radio presents the following local sports special.
Welcome to the Indianapolis Colts with Ed Nason. A special look inside the Colts and a peek behind the curtain, if you will. Special guest today, local product, Kit O'Brien.
How are we doing?
Very, very well. Thanks for spending a little bit of time with us today.
Absolutely.
Tell me a little bit about your beginning there at Lewis Cass.
Yep, I graduated in 09. I was on the school's only state championship, not runner-up, I guess you could say, the only team that ever went to state at Lewis Cass.
All right, and then you went off to Ball State?
Yeah, I went up to Ball State. Actually moved the day after I graduated from Cass and started working out there over the summer and ended up starting two games as a freshman and then started the rest of my career, sophomore year through senior, and had an absolute blast. Muncie, it was my home for 4 years, and I loved Ball State, so I had a good time there.
Didn't waste any time the next day, huh?
Yeah, it was surprising to some because I was just a small school kid that nobody knew anything about and kind of burst onto the scene. It was a lot of fun.
You know, I obviously seen you at training camp this year, and I'm 6'1", and obviously the picture there that's on social media, you make me look like a little child.
Yeah, I know. I'm just a small guy.
Yeah, 6'5",
no,
is it?
I'm about 6'5". I mean, it depends on who's measuring, because there's different. I like to measure the cleats on, call myself 6'6½", but I'm actually 6'5", and I get it all from my mom's side of the family. That's where all the height comes from.
Gotcha. Now, how tall is your mother?
My mom's about 6 foot. My dad's only 5'7", but my grandpa is 6'6". My Uncle John's 6'6". My Uncle Kelly's 6'8". My Uncle Jim's 6'3". You know, my Aunt Annie, I don't know exactly how tall she is, but she's over 6 foot.
Yeah, so. Yeah. So you got a pretty good pedigree here locally, for sure.
Yeah, thing is, Kitchells are typically known for playing basketball, and my Uncle Kelly and I tried to break the mold and go the football route.
Now, you played a little bit of baseball and football in high school, correct?
I dabbled in baseball more in middle school. I threw shot and discus in high school for a couple of years and played basketball all 4 years through. But to be honest with you, truth be told, I was actually in love with wrestling, but coming from a basketball family, that didn't swing.
No,
I went the route of basketball.
I could imagine it. I had a stepbrother that wrestled, and you never wanted to pick on him, that's for sure. So what?
It was evident when I went to go shoot free throws, not airball free throws, that I probably should have been on a mat.
Understand it. We're here with Kit O'Brien here from beautiful Walton. Where's Kit living at currently?
I live down in Zionsville, right off 421. My wife and I moved there last year, right around the time that I got signed with the Colts. And we love it. It's a beautiful area. It's been really good to us. She's been able to work, and it's been a good time. You know, it's the only tough part is the ups and downs that I've faced with my job situation, you could say, over the past year.
Sure, sure. Yeah, I was going to say, this year, 2016, you was right up to the 53-man roster cut there on September the 3rd. So walk us through what happens when you get that dreaded call or somebody tells you to bring your playbook.
Well, so I was actually in Walton. My mother-in-law got remarried. My father-in-law passed away 4 years ago. She got remarried in September, and we were up there for the wedding and for the reception. And when I got the call, they said, bring your playbook in, coach needs to talk to you. And it wasn't news we were expecting, obviously.
Sure.
Nobody who makes it to the final cuts really expects the news. You're prepared for it, but you never expect it. And, you know, and we had good conversations, and, you know, I think the fact that there were some injuries that turned out to be not so serious and some injuries that turned out to be more serious on the different side of the ball ultimately led to my dismissal. And, you know, it's mm-hmm. just the way the cards fall sometime. And
no, you're exactly.
You turn the mindset back to positive. You can't dwell on how upset you are about it, and you just keep plugging away, and you know something good is going to open up, another door is going to open.
Yeah, and, you know, we spoke during the regular season here a couple times, but you hit the nail right on the head there as we was talking off air. Boy, the back end there of the Colts, the safeties and the corners just had so much injury that you worked out a little bit longer with the Colts this year than you did last year on the off season.
Yeah, they pulled me in like 6 days in last year and had to learn the playbook. I was released within 24 hours and then brought back 24 hours later and then practiced one day and turned around, went to Philly and played my first game, played a whole second half. And talk about not dipping the toe and throwing his head into the fire, but it was unbelievable. It was awesome. I think about, you were talking about the injuries at the defensive back position. You know, when I watch the Colts weekly, you know, honestly, I feel so attached to those guys. They were my brothers for over a year. There's so much talent back there, but, you know, skill positions, it's tough because, you know, you look at those guys when they're off the field and they're nothing but muscle and skin and bone, and it's so much easier for them to pull muscle than it is for one of us fat boys on the offensive defensive line because we have a lot more cushion to give, and it's easy to just pull something or twist something because they're so muscular, and they have to be to play that position and be fast. It's just, you know, I think it's the problem they've been running into, and that, and they want to hit so hard. Yeah. Like the defense was trying to establish that we're not going to let anybody run the ball, and we're gonna stop the pass. And, you know, we've seen some concussions this year in the back, and you know, it's held a lot of the Colts' really good players out of a lot of games.
Yeah, sure decimated a lot of the backfield for sure. Talking with Kit O'Brien here, we was talking a little bit about your diet and what it consists of. Can you elaborate a little bit?
When I was feeling sorry for myself right off the bat after I was let go, it consisted of a little bit of sleeping and wallowing in self-pity. But, you know, after I gave my allotted time for that, I started working out again. I go into my facility. I have a good buddy who I played with in college who lives not too far from me down there in Indy. And we train together in the morning about 4:30. Then I come home. Typically, if I'm not doing an odd job that day to help my wife stay afloat, and I start preparing meals for myself to utilize. I'm not saying I don't cheat here and there and have a hamburger or a piece of pizza, but I try to eat as clean as I can because, you know, it stuck with me. Player personnel for the Colts one time said to me, David Thornton said, if you stay ready, you don't have to get ready. So that's what I've been doing. I've been trying to stay ready. So when that call comes, and I know it will, ultimately I don't have to scramble and go out and run till I puke just so I can go out there and perform. I'll be ready to go.
Have you gotten any chatter, if you will, from the scouts or Colts personnel or even around the league for that matter?
Yeah, it was about week two or three, I do believe, this year. I got a call from Tennessee. There's two of us they brought in, and they ended up going with the other guy. But I already had one workout this year, you know. I mean, you see injuries out there on the field all the time, but you got to think my position's more of the interior three. So when you see guys on the edge getting hurt, it's not likely they're going to call in a guard center type body to come out there and play tackle for them. But I've had other teams call my agent and contact him and say, you know, he's high on our list. It depends on, you know, if we're going to activate this guy, we might bring him in. If this guy goes down, we might bring him in. Or if this guy plays poorly, we'll bring, you know, it's honestly, it's all timing and situation when you're a free agent. And that's the tough part because you're sitting at home and it's not like you can go out on you can go out on any open field and do your pass sets or do some run blocking, but it's not like you're going against live competition to stay ready. So really you got to keep hitting the weights hard, stay in condition, and, you know, it's kind of like riding a bike when it comes to a position standpoint. You don't really lose what you know, but it does take a little time to shake the rust off.
Yeah, you bet. So, Kit, tell me a little bit about the transition from college to pro. How fast they are, a little bit obviously quicker and obviously a little stronger, if you will.
The game itself, so I honestly, and I'll say this till my dying day, I think the biggest jump from one area to another, and speed standpoint is from middle school football to varsity football in high school. That's the biggest change that I think I've ever seen. Hmm. When I got to college, it was more just the caliber of athletes I was going against.
Sure.
And then when I got to the pros, it wasn't a speed thing. It's just you're going against the higher quality athletes from all the schools, and you're going against the best of their players. So, you know, I went and I played in the MAC, and everybody has good players and everybody has great players. And when you're spending 90% of your time blocking the good player and 10% blocking the great, you know, it doesn't seem all that big of a difference. But when you go to the pros, you're going against that 10% every play. So it just makes you elevate the way you play a little bit more. And really the biggest difference in the NFL and college, I think, is just the amount that you need to know and how much you need to rely on your technique. Because in college, you can still somewhat manhandle guys if you're big and strong and you don't have to do it the way that looks pretty.
Mm-hmm.
But in college, these guys are paid millions of dollars to not let you do that. So you have to rely on what your coach teaches you to be able to do your job.
All kind of comes down to fundamentals, huh?
Absolutely.
Indeed. Now, what impressed you the most with the Colts organization? What sticks out?
What impressed me the most with the Colts organization? Just from the top down, it's just a bunch of class. From Mr. Irsay all the way down to the guy who's like go off the roster, or equipment managers, or mm-hmm. the chefs even preparing it. Everybody's there to help you reach your full potential. And that's what really stuck out about it. You know, in different situations, I don't really have much to speak on other NFL teams, but I do know what I have from the Colts, and it was just class from everybody, from Ryan Grigson, our general manager, to Coach Pagano.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just stopping in the hallway and talking to a guy who's a free agent that they brought in from the Arena Football League as if he was the first-round draft pick that they had taken that year or the year prior. They don't see any difference in people. You know, when it comes to evaluation, everybody gets a fair shake at it. And, you know, I really, really loved the organization. And I gave everything I had to them for that past year and a half. And
sure.
I grew up in Indiana and I was a fan of the Colts, but I wasn't a big fan of the Colts. If that makes sense.
Sure.
I liked every team. I didn't want to hold one specific team, but ever since playing for them and knowing what they stand for and the type of people that they employ there, it really makes me respect and appreciate that organization.
You bet. How hard is it to change coaches in the middle of the season versus at the end of the season? How rough is that as a player to change almost the game?
I think it's rough no matter when the change is, because if you think about it, like if you're with one coach through the entire offseason, you're buying into his ideals and his way of thinking. And if something switches or something shakes, you have a whole new mentality you have to overtake. You have a new mentality, a new mindset to take on when the new person or new coach or anybody in the office comes in, and you don't know what the expectations are. You can only go out there and do what you ask. And, you know, last year for case in point, last year Joe Gilbert was our offensive line coach, and we were taught one type of technique just from a foot standpoint, like how we would come off the ball. And this year they brought in Joe Philbin, and he taught it different, you know, and it just takes time to buy in. It's not as if you don't want to buy in. It's just it takes time to break those bad habits and adjust to the new habits. And really, when it comes to a coordinator or a coach, it's figuring out what he wants and playing for how he wants you to play.
Sure.
That's the last year. Like I said, it's tough because you look at it. We had Pep last year, and he was a wonderful offensive coordinator, and then they decided to go in a different direction and bring in Chud, and Chud is excellent. I loved playing for him, but it's two different mindsets, and this year you're seeing more of what he wants to do as compared to what they wanted to do last year, and that's why you see deeper balls and all that stuff, and it just goes to show you it's less, like, it's a mindset. You have to buy into what that coach wants.
Indeed. What do you enjoy more? Let's say Andrew's in the huddle and he calls a pass play or a run play. Which one you enjoy the most?
I love run blocking. I've always loved it. I mean, I came from a high school where if we threw the ball four times a game, it was considered overpassing. and that was, I would say, pass blocking for me was, well, not my Achilles heel, but it was something that I needed to develop. And when I went to the Arena League, everything's one-on-one pass blocking. Mm-hmm. So that part of my game developed, but I've never lost the mentality of wanting to just be a mauler and get my hands in somebody and physically move them out of the position they're supposed to be in or putting them on their back. You know, there's something about taking somebody and breaking his will and doing what you want with him in a game and being able to establish the line of scrimmage that just is different, is a different feel than anything else. I think the only thing I can equate, you know, a good run block to is, you know, busting through, when I play defensive line, busting through the offensive line and making a tackle for a loss or a sack. Those are the two best feelings in the world. So, I mean, run blocking for sure, but I don't think pass blocking is too far down the list on me because, I mean, yeah. The only two things I really do is run block and pass block. Occasionally get out there and pull on a screen or an outside play, but
yeah,
doing those too.
You know, we, again, talking with Kit O'Brien here, and, you know, I have to say, we spoke a lot off air and during the season a little bit last year. For an offensive lineman, footwork and hands are the two major, obviously, your height. As a lot of coaches say, you can't coach big. Either you have it or you don't. But your footwork is absolutely phenomenal. Has it always came a little easy like that? Was it always easier?
I think I was blessed athletically to be, you know, to have the gifts and the talents and the tools that I have in my bucket of things. But I think my ability and my footwork and my punch and everything, that really came from coaching. I would say I'm kind of a perfectionist in the sense that if I get beat, I want to know why I got beat and what I can do to get better. And the guy who's going to listen and soak up everything that the coach has to say on not to get beat again. And I mean, I know I think that's bad, but the percentage is high that you are going to get beat again. But after you take all the information that he has to give you, you have a better shot of going out there and it not happening. You have, unless you're going against a freak athlete, I really believe that technique and ultimately coaching is what it comes down to, and sheer ability and belief that they're not going to beat you. So, I mean, I think it's more of a mindset and coaching that really has gotten me to my fundamentals and my overall technical skills that's where they are at this point in my career.
All right, Kit, I have a question I enjoy asking all the athletes, if you will. What's your favorite play that sticks out, whether it is high school, college, CFL, or even the NFL? What is the one play that sticks out?
Well, that's tough because I about have one at every level. My favorite play from high school, I had a really big block in the state championship game. We were running a boot, and I was I was the rollout guard protecting our quarterback booting out. I had a really nice cleanup block on a defensive lineman versus Heritage Christian. It was one of the cleanest hits I've ever had in my life. And that one definitely sticks in the memory bank. I don't know how, because it did take a shot to the head.
Yeah.
But and then in college, I don't even know if it's not really one play, but it's more of the atmosphere I played in college. We played in huge atmospheres. We played at Clemson and Oklahoma and down at Auburn and
big football. Yeah.
Those are feelings that you can't trade, replace, or ever want to get rid of. Like, it was it's truly what made me fall in love with the sport, is just the electricity you feel. You know, the butterflies turning into pterodactyls in your stomach. And then in the pros, every time my favorite play, I think it would have to be against Cincinnati this year in the last preseason game. We ran a man outside run. Jordan Todman was carrying the ball, and I pulled, and the Mike linebacker scraped over the top, and I de-cleated him and kept going, and we got 26-yard carry on it. It was one of our biggest runs of the preseason, and, you know, just to know that you're able to play and somewhat physically dominate a guy that is playing at the highest possible level as well as you. It really just, it does something to you, you mentally, and makes you feel powerful, makes you feel like you belong. And that's probably my favorite play I've had in all the preseason games that I've played in.
Yeah. Kid, I've been around football for quite some time, and noticed the footwork, and it just really surprises me, if you will, that you have not been picked up on a roster as of yet. Curious on if the Colts have called you, or if any other team called the agent, or anything of that nature.
I don't like to say the teams that who have contacted, just because I don't.
Sure.
I'm afraid that they're going to shy away.
No, I understand. No,
yeah,
I was
like
just
talking about it because it'll scare it away from happening. But you know, I've heard things from various teams. Some
sure.
Throughout the same conference as the Colts. I mean, Tennessee was one, obviously. I've heard a couple rumblings from New Orleans and those guys down south in Miami, and a couple over where I used to live in Cleveland. But you know, the thing is, and my agent tells it to me all the time, beauty's in the eye of the beholder. I know I put good film out there from this preseason, good enough film to warrant a job in the NFL. You know, it's just
for sure.
Mm-hmm. Timing and injuries. I hate saying that. Injuries are always beneficial to somebody in my position. You don't like seeing that happen, especially because they're your colleagues, and you wouldn't want anybody wishing that against you if you're in their position. But you know, those are, it's just part of the game. But those are the things that have to fall through for me in order to get the job that I seek out. And you know, based on film alone, you would think I would have had a job. But you know, you got to think about personality. You got to think about how long these guys have been with certain coaches. You got to think about relationships that they have with people, and all that plays into it. I don't like saying it's politics, because politics, you can talk about it until you're blue in the face. It's not going to change the fact that they're out there. Yeah, I'm just excited for the next opportunity that's coming. I know it's coming. It's coming soon. I'm excited like I'm a kid on Christmas Eve, getting ready to open his gift, which would be a team any day, you know. And it's still, the year's still young. Last year is week 8 when the Colts re-signed me. They were traveling to Carolina. They re-signed me on a Friday. I stayed home. I remember being on the team and eating dinner with my wife at Buffalo Wild Wings to see how my teammates were doing, and then going back to work and preparing for Denver that next week. And so, you know, I'm ready for it to happen, and I'm excited for it to happen. I just don't know when it will, but I do know it will.
No, absolutely. I definitely appreciate your time. We'll probably reach out again if that's all right.
Absolutely, anytime.
But yeah, you bet. Again, Kit O'Brien, we're definitely, the community's definitely pulling for you. As I obviously put that picture there on social media, you have no idea how many people reached out and asked if you was on the team. I probably should have been a little more information, I guess, on there. But boy, I tell you, the community's definitely pulling for you, young man.
Well, you know, and I can feel all the positive things that they're sending me, and the prayers. They're definitely helping me get to where I have been, and get me back to where I was. And I can't thank this community enough. You know, I've been part of it for 23 years of my life. Yeah, the first three I lived up in the UP with my dad, and he's in the military. But I've been a Cass County native for most of my life. Don't let what the internet says about me being my hometown being Denver, Colorado. I don't know how that got messed up. But I absolutely love Cass County. It's been great to me. It instilled in me the value of hard work and community that I try to portray through my everyday life, and that I try to do through my job and every opportunity that I have. And I just couldn't thank anybody that I've ever come in contact with enough.
I'd like to thank Kit O'Brien for his time today, local product, and I'm sure one day he'll be on some roster somewhere, as well as you, the listener. And make sure and join us next time for Colts Interviews and Discussions. I am Ed Nason, and as always, go Colts.
1230 WSAL, Talk of the Town. You are just listening to the Indianapolis Colts with Ed Nason.
And we'll be back after the break with an interview from the owners of the new Shrimp King and More in Logansport. Stay tuned.